Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
You're listening to Rami Makhlouf on Chicago's Sports Radio 670 The Score and always live on the free Odyssey app.
That's me on The Score evening show, taking you right up to Cubs baseball in game two of the divisional series between those Cubs and the Milwaukee Brewers from AmFam Field in Milwaukee. I'll talk with Bart Winkler of the Infinity Sports Network. You hear him weeknights 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. right here on The Score, and he is out of Milwaukee, not just on the radio, just in general, in life. He is out of Milwaukee, born and raised, so he'll give us a view of this game and this series from the other side of things. And I want to hear from you at 312-644-6767. Just want to take a temperature check and see how you're feeling about this game, about this series, about the Justin Turner move, all that. Left the whole first hour, just like I said on Friday. I want to talk to the Score listener and the Cubs fan leading up to playoff baseball here on the Score Evening Show tonight. So the whole first hour open to you, your calls, your text at 312-644-6767. I got Tyler Buterbaugh on the other side of the glass. I am live from the Hyundai Score Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. And I'll get into game two and the Justin Turner of it all here in just a second. Quick preview, don't like it, but I'll tell you why in just a second. I did want to revisit game one for just a second, and I needed to sort of settle myself down after game one a little bit and step back and have a little perspective on the whole thing. I don't think any of us were feeling great about Matthew Boyd going in that one. He was not trending in the right direction to begin with. 4.54 ERA in August, 5.31 in September. And really it was a recipe for disaster, because with Matthew Boyd and that Brewers lineup, and that right there was classic Brewers. Just string together hits, work pitchers. Blake Perkins had that 11-pitch at-bat, capitalizing on mistakes like the Nico Horner error. And Nico just doesn't do that. He fielded more than 99% of his attempts this year successfully. And beyond fielding percentage, no other second baseman came close to his 17 defensive runs saved or 15 outs above average. So it really was sort of the perfect storm with Matthew Boyd, the Nico Horner error, the Brewers lineup that just pecks at you. Pat Murphy calls them the woodpeckers, and it led to disaster, and it led to what we saw, which was 9 runs in the first 2 innings, and it was over before it started. But strange as it might sound, if you were going to lose game one, and I'm not saying it was a good thing that they lost game one. It's never a good thing to lose a game in a playoff series, especially in a 5-game playoff series. But if you were going to lose game one, if you ask me, that was the way to lose it. That right there was the way to lose a close game. As a matter of fact, I'll just let Craig Counsell tell you why a close game might have been detrimental to the Cubs and their chances in this series. Here's Craig Counsell talking about why that was maybe not the worst way to lose in game one of that series.
Look, the game got away from us early, so it's not like it did, right? It got away from us. So, man, it's a loss, and you move on from it quickly. There's no penalty. There's no, it's one loss. It's no, doesn't count for more how you lose. We didn't lose well, but sometimes, you know, not, you know, a close game could have cost us some pitching type stuff too. So we lost, you move on. That's how the clubhouse felt.
That was the first thing I thought when that game, actually not even when the game was over, during that game, I was thinking, well, at least you don't have to use any of your high leverage arms. And now with 2 days off surrounding game one, that means 3 full days of rest for their trio of righties, as well as Caleb Thielbar and Drew Pomeranz. All their high leverage arms now, 3 days of rest. And that's something that hasn't happened for all five since the All-Star break. So a little bit of a silver lining there in the way that they lost that game. But moving on to game two. And I'd like to hear from you at 312-644-6767. Quick temperature check. Just see how you're feeling, Cubs fans. If you need to get on the couch and have a little sports therapy with me here on the Score Evening Show with Rami Makhlouf, feel free. Jump on. Give us a call. Shoot us a text. 312-644-6767. And I had notes for the show. I had a direction I wanted to go in talking about tonight's game. And then the lineup came out. I think all of our thinking about this game changed when we saw the lineup come out. And I'll give you the full lineup coming up here near the bottom of the hour. But if you haven't heard, Justin Turner is leading off and playing first base. That's right. If you're just getting in your car, right, you just left a long day at the office or the factory or whatever it is that you go to earn a living, and you didn't see or hear about the Cubs lineup yet, Justin Turner is leading off and playing first base. And I don't like this on a number of levels. First of all, and I thought Spiegs put it perfectly, it feels like Craig Counsell kind of took the bait here of his old mentor and former bench coach in Pat Murphy, who goes with the lefty and Aaron Ashby, and that prompts Craig to go away from the lefty and Michael Bush at first base, which I just don't like to start with. I just don't like that you're taking probably the hottest bat. It's between him and Seiya, the way that they've been swinging it since like the last week of the regular season and through the playoffs. Taking what's your hottest or second hottest bat out of the lineup, matchups be damned. I'm just not a fan of that. It's already hard enough to score runs just in the playoffs in general. It's been very hard for this Cubs offense to score runs here since, I don't know, late June. So I haven't been a fan of Justin Turner taking at-bats away from Michael Bush, just in general. And you're going to hear from Justin Turner with Zach Zaidman coming up in the Cubs pregame show on the Southwest Airlines Cubs Radio Network as Cubs and Brewers get underway tonight here on The Score. But I haven't been a fan of that move for much of the season. He's never going to learn how to hit lefties unless you let him hit lefties. And I know the playoffs isn't the place to learn, but again, he's been your hottest bat. I don't understand. I can't get down with that. But okay, let's say you want to get the left-handed bat out of the lineup. You're playing the matchups. You don't want Michael Bush facing the lefty. Does Justin Turner have to lead off? Does he have to lead off? And I'm not big on lineups. I think a lot of the time we get too caught up in the minutiae of lineups. You're going to bat once every 9 times. Like, after the first inning, it really doesn't matter who's leading off. But, and again, this was another point that Spiegs made, and I thought it was a good one on the Spiegel and Holmes show. That's why they are who they are. Now, Pat Murphy, really, if he wants to, and if Craig shows that he's not putting Michael Bush in there against a lefty, Pat Murphy has the cards in his hand. Michael Bush might never step on the field if Craig isn't going to let him face a lefty, because if I'm Pat Murphy, I'll let a lefty face the pocket that includes Shaw and Turner every time. Every single time. If you are going to start Justin Turner, and again, I want your thoughts on this and just your temperature check on this game and this series in general at 312-644-6767. If you had to start Justin Turner and you really didn't want Michael Bush facing a lefty, why not sandwich him into two of your more proficient, more feared right-handed hitters and force Pat Murphy's hand at some point in the game to get Michael Bush in there to face a right-handed pitcher, a right-handed reliever later in the game. You could have put him between Horner and Suzuki. You could have put him between Suzuki and Happ, who's a switch hitter. You could have put him between Happ and Kelly. You could have put him between Kelly and Swanson. You could have put him in any pocket in between two of your more feared right-handed hitters. And then at some point in the game, Pat Murphy is going to have to make a decision with the rule that a pitcher must face three hitters. He's going to have to make a decision. Am I going to let a lefty face Horner and Suzuki, or am I going to let a righty face Michael Bush? Now he doesn't have to do that at all. You completely put the cards in Pat Murphy's hands. I don't understand why Justin Turner is getting the start, just period. And if he is, why at the top of the order, where now he's going to be batting behind Matt Shaw and really at no point in the game putting the pressure on Pat Murphy from a standpoint of who he's going to bring in to face who and playing the lefty-righty matchups. It doesn't make sense. And man, I'm a big Craig Counsell guy. But he's had a handful of moves. And quite frankly, if you only have a handful of moves over the course of 2 years that I really strongly disagree with, or that the fans really strongly disagree with, it's a pretty good average. But this is right up there. And if it doesn't, look, man, I'd be happy to eat crow and say, brilliant move by Craig Counsell. Wow, look at how that worked out. Justin Turner came out first inning and got a big rally started for the Cubs. I would love to come on here and say that after the fact. But this isn't second guessing when the game hasn't been played yet. It's first guessing. I just don't like it. I don't like the fact that he did it, and I don't like where he put him in the order. Puts no pressure on Pat Murphy whatsoever. As far as the rest of this game goes, pitching matchup, Imanaga's career against the Brewers, it's a small sample size, and it's not good if you just look at the ERA. He's got a 5.73 ERA, but that's mostly one start. That's his first start against the Brewers. They ended the Shota madness last year when he came out and had like a sub-1 ERA in his first 8 or 9 starts or whatever it was, and then they tagged him for eight runs, seven of those earned in just over an inning of work. Or I'm sorry, 4 innings of work. Since then, he's been solid, not great. It's been a mixed bag. He had one performance that was 5-plus innings, 4 runs. Only 2 of those were earned. Another performance, 5 innings, 3 earned runs. Another performance where he had 7 innings. And this was his most recent one in late August. He gave up 3 runs, 2 of those earned in 7 innings of work. So really in his last 3 starts, he's been solid to good. So I like Shota in this one, and we'll get into the matchups of it all later and what that Brewers lineup has done against him. But I really like the move of going to Shota in this one. I know he hasn't been himself lately, but quite frankly, I don't know where else you were going to go. You could have gone to Colin Ray, but I like Shota, and here's Craig Counsell talking about why he went with Shota Imanaga in this one.
The thing that I love most about Shota is that he is a – there's a couple things. He's a competitor, and I think he's like a thinking man's competitor, and he also pitches with a lot of joy on the mound. While competing at a really high level, he doesn't sometimes come across as like this fierce competitor, but because he's really joyful on the mound, and so that doesn't come off cross as fierce necessarily, but I think he's a fierce competitor. And he does it by, he's trying to figure out a way to get you out, and he's trying to figure out a way to be better. And that's going on pitch to pitch. That's going on between starts. And he's really good at that part of it. And we've seen him pitch for 2 years, and we've seen him succeed for 2 years. And that's how he does it to me. And it's, he's a fun player to watch compete. There's no question about it.
I hope it's fun to watch him compete tonight. And I hope he did make the proper and necessary adjustments from his last start. Well, it wasn't a start, but his last outing against San Diego in the wild card, where he gave up the 2-run homer to Manny Machado. And that was the end of his two innings of work that day. I hope he's made the proper adjustments, and we see a better Shota tonight, really better than we've seen in his last handful of starts. As far as the Brewers opener, I'm not going to say starter, but opener, and Aaron Ashby, similar story. He has an inflated ERA against the Cubs, a 6 ERA, but a lot of that goes back to his first two appearances where he gave up 6 runs and 2 runs in less than 6 innings of work combined. Since then, he's been okay. He's been solid. He's gave up 1 run in 3 innings, 1 run in 3-plus innings, and then a shutout inning and a third in relief. That was back in October, so late in this, or, I'm sorry, yeah, in October, late in this season against the Cubs. So to me, the pitching matchup, pretty even, and we really don't know where Pat Murphy is going after Aaron Ashby. It could be Quinn Priester. It could be Jose Quintana. I think if it's a big lead one way or the other, if it's the Cubs or the Brewers with the big lead when he decides to pull the plug on Ashby, I think it could just be a bullpen day for the Brewers. Who knows what that guy has in his pockets other than pancakes and pizza? You know what I mean? That's the only thing that we know Pat Murphy has in his pockets. I don't know what his plan is for the pitching series. All in all, and the Justin Turner thing hurts it a little bit, but all in all, I feel pretty good about tonight. I don't know about you. You can tell me at 312-644-6767, but I feel pretty good about tonight for a few reasons. One, the Cubs hadn't lost more than three games in a row until late September. They're resilient. They're a very resilient baseball team. They were the last team to get swept in a series, and it didn't happen until late September. This number makes me feel really good, and I gave it the other night on Friday when I was here before the season started. They're 46-24, 47-24 if you include the wild card series after a loss. So again, that shows their resilience, and we hear this a lot. I'm sure you've heard it a lot. Teams that hit homers win games in the postseason. And I know that didn't play out in game one, but more than 80% of the time, the team with more home runs in a game has won in the postseason over the last 5 years. More than 80% of the time, and more than 40% of the runs scored have been on the long ball recently, and the Cubs just have more power. Now, again, it didn't work out on Friday, but take that number. 80% of the time, the team that hits more home runs wins the game. It's a 5-game series. 80% means 4 out of every 5 times that a team hits more home runs, they win that series. So, statistically speaking, if the Cubs out-homer the Brewers in every game the rest of this series, they shouldn't lose another one. You get 1 in 5 of those in the playoffs, historically. You get 1 of 5 where you don't hit more home runs than the other team and you still win that baseball game. If the Cubs out-homer the Brewers, they should win. And they have a pretty good chance of out-homering the Brewers, I think, just based on the makeup of the lineups, Justin Turner or no Justin Turner. But here's the great proclamation that I'm going to make here in this first segment about this game and this series. You tell me if you agree, 312-644-6767. I think whoever wins tonight wins this series. I think this is the pivotal game in this series. And I think whoever wins it is coming out on top. For the Brewers, the reason why I say that is pretty self-explanatory. You go up 2-0 in a best-of-five series, and I would think, I haven't looked at the numbers, I would think there's a high percentage of teams that go up 2-0 in a 3-game series that go on to win it. You're going to be asked to come back and win 3 straight games against a team that won 97 this season. That's a tough task. That's a tall order. For the Cubs, the reason why I think they win this series, if they get this one here tonight, Jameson Taillon has been as good as any pitcher who's going to take the mound in this series going back about a month since he came back from the hamstring injury. He's been as good as any pitcher who's going to take the mound in this series. So I feel really good about the Cubs' chances in game 3. And then you just got to get one of the last two. And one of those last two is going to be at Wrigley Field, where the Cubs have been much, much better than they've been on the road. So I feel pretty good about tonight. Not as good as I did an hour ago before I heard the Justin Turner news that he'll be playing first base and leading off, and Michael Busch will be watching this game from the bench to start, especially where Justin Turner is in the lineup, really doesn't have me very thrilled. But I still feel pretty good about tonight. If they can out-homer them, if they can show that resiliency that they've shown all season, they should have a pretty good chance to win tonight. And I think whoever wins this series tonight is winning this series. But I want to hear from you. Again, we left the whole first hour open for you, the Cubs fan, at 312-644-6767. How are you feeling about this game? How are you feeling about this series? What do you think about the Justin Turner move? 312-644-6767. Game two between the Cubs and Brewers is tonight for Milwaukee. Pregame coverage begins at 7:30 with first pitch at 8:08. Every local broadcast of Cubs playoff baseball can be heard on The Score and the Southwest Airlines Cubs Radio Network. Rami Makhlouf taking you right up to pregame at 7:30 on The Score Evening Show right here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
That's pretty special. I think, you know, when I found out I was doing it, it's kind of funny. Any of you guys have been around Milwaukee Brewers for a while. You know, David Freese did this for us with the Dodgers in the playoffs a few years back. He led off and got one at bat against the opener. So not saying I don't know how long I'm going to get to go or how much run, but I feel good and comfortable knowing I'm in some good company with David Freese, because he's one of my favorite teammates I've ever had all time. So he did a pretty good job too, so hopefully I can follow in his footsteps.
That's Justin Turner. Upon learning the news that he will start at first base and lead off tonight for game two of the NLDS between the Cubs and the Brewers from American Family Field. Rami Makhlouf taking you right up to Cubs pregame at 7:30 of that one right here on The Score and on the Southwest Airlines Cubs Radio Network. Phone lines, text lines open to you for this entire first hour before I talk with Bart Winkler of the Infinity Sports Network. He joins me at 7 o'clock. 312-644-6767 if you want to get in and want to win a pair of tickets to Cubs-Brewers NLDS Game 3 at Wrigley Field on Wednesday. Stop by Sluggers in Wrigleyville from 7 to 8 p.m. tonight and meet Gabe Ramirez to register for your chance to win tickets to Game 3 of the NLDS at Wrigley Field. Tickets are courtesy of The Score and Budweiser. This Bud's for you. So head on out to Sluggers 7 to 8 tonight and meet Gabe Ramirez, have a Budweiser, and enter for your chance to win tickets to Game 3 of the NLDS at Wrigley Field, which will hopefully be tied at one game apiece. Let's get out to these phones and out to Valparaiso. And Paul, you're on The Score. Paul, what do you got on this game tonight, man?
Hey, Ryan, good evening. Yeah, you're right. I was a lot more positive about it until about an hour or so ago. I agree with everything you said and everything that Spiegel said. You know, I told your producer, in 40 years of watching Chicago sports, all sports, and a lot of bad managers and a lot of bad decisions, this to me may be the worst decision in Chicago sports history by a manager or a coach. And I don't care if it works. Like you said, I hope it works, and I hope they get lucky. He would have to get lucky. This is just totally overthinking it. And let's not put everything on council. This has something to do with the whole brain trust. Jed Hoyer is included in this, and I really hope this doesn't come back to bite him. He's overthinking this, and it's a terrible decision, and it's all of them, not just council. They should all take accountability if they lose this game and go out of the playoffs.
Paul, I appreciate the call, man. I wouldn't go so far as to say the worst coaching decision in the last 40 years. I just have to go back to Thanksgiving of last year and Matt Eberflus just staring off into nothingness as 30 seconds tick off the clock and he doesn't call a timeout. I mean, That's just off the top of my head as a worse coaching decision or managerial decision than what we're seeing right now. That was just watching the game just end without doing anything at all with a timeout in your pocket. So that's just one, and I'm sure I could come up with more. But yeah, man, this probably is not just a Craig Counsell decision. They do talk things over with, as Paul put it, the brain trust. I just don't understand. And again, if you were going to start him, if you want to play the lefty-righty thing, and maybe Justin Turner let the cat out of the bag there when he was giving the example of David Freese, who, as he said, was sort of the opener and leadoff man. He faced the starting pitcher once and then watched the rest of the game from the bench. Maybe that's the plan. And okay, fine. But is Michael Bush going to see a lefty at any point? Because the way that Counsell lined it up, he really doesn't have to. Pat Murphy does not have to go to a righty for that spot in the order at any point. Unless you're going to bring him in and pinch hit for somebody else in this lineup, but who are you pinch hitting for? The fact that he has Shaw and Turner back-to-back, if I'm Pat Murphy, every time that pocket of the lineup comes up, I'm going with the lefty, and if you want, put Michael Bush in there at your own peril. Which you clearly don't like to do, Craig Counsell. That's why I said in the first segment, you could have put him anywhere else in the lineup and tucked him between two of your better right-handed hitters. And now you put the pressure on Pat Murphy a little bit at some point in the game to let one of your better right-handed hitters face a lefty or let Michael Bush face a righty. The way he has it now, I'm happy to let Matt Shaw and Michael Bush face a lefty. I don't understand it. And Michael tweeted me. He said, everything Turner might just bat at the top of the first and go sit down. Not a candidate to replace anyone for defense, LOL. And that's a good point. Like, you're not necessarily tied to Justin Turner for the entirety of this game. It's just that if you don't want Michael Bush to face a lefty, well, you might not get the opportunity at any other point in the game for him to face a righty because of where you put him in the lineup. He took the bait. Counsell took Pat Murphy's bait. Here's a text from the 630. Or Murphy could put in a righty reliever to force Counsell to put Bush in, then put a lefty back in, wasting both Bush and Turner. Can't do that. If you announce a pitcher and he takes the mound, he has to face three batters. So you can't do that. This one from the 217. Isn't the bigger question, why is Turner even on the roster? No. No, I'm okay with Turner being on the roster. And not to put too much importance or emphasis on it, I think he's probably one of their better bench players. But beyond that, I've already heard a lot about what his voice in that clubhouse has meant, even after losing game one of the series, the way that they lost game one of the series, and him sort of driving the message home that it's regardless of the score, it's just one loss. You're down 0-1. Whether it was 9-2 or whether it was 4-3, you're down 1-0 in the series, and you got to go out and try and even the series at one apiece. That's what it comes down to. And I think having that perspective of, I think it's 50 some playoff games I read today that Justin Turner has played in, having that voice, having that leadership in the clubhouse and on the roster is good. But beyond that, I just think you look at the Cubs bench, and I think he's probably one of your better options. Let's go to Jim in Lockport. You're on the score. What's up, Jim?
Hey, Ron. I was you basically covered everything I was going to say anyway.
Okay.
Turner being up for the first time, and that's it. So I don't think it's that big of a deal, but show to pitching makes me nervous. The only thing good is that Milwaukee Brewers lineup's the size of a sophomore high school team. So maybe, you know, they won't be hitting homers off crazy off of him. But, yeah, I mean, that scares me more than Turner being up for a turn.
Jim, thanks for the call, man. And that's a good point that he makes, that Shota's sort of bugaboo has been the home run, and the Brewers don't hit a ton of those. They will hit home runs here and there, and they scored as many runs as anybody in baseball this year. They ended up in I think the top five in runs scored this year, but they don't hit a ton of. They were 22nd in the league in home runs this year. They don't hit a ton, so you would think the matchup bodes well. And I have more details on the matchup and just the lineup that Shota will face when I get to the full lineups coming up here in just a few minutes. But that does bode well for the Cubs. And I I feel pretty good about Shota tonight bouncing back from his recent struggles. I do. Could be wrong. Could just be wishful thinking. But I feel pretty good about Shota's chances. He's been good his last few times out against the Brewers. I gave it to you in the first segment of the show. Five-plus innings and three or less runs in three of his four outings, the last three outings that he's had against this ball club. And two of those were, actually all three of those were in this season. So he's been pretty good against this Brewers team, and I don't think he'll be asked to go five innings or seven innings as he was before, because Craig Counsell has his full arsenal of bullpen arms with 2 days off in sandwiched around these first three games and having to use none of them in game one of this series. All his high leverage arms, lefties and righties, are on 3 days rest right now. To me, that bodes very well for the Cubs, and I think they'll ask Shota to get three, maybe four innings tonight if he can, and then it'll be a lot of what we saw in San Diego, where you're going to your Palencias and your Kellers and your Kittredges and the rest of those guys out there to get you 15, 16, 17 outs in this one. And I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that because they have the rest and they should be good to go. Let's go. Let me read text. 630 says, if we are discussing problems with the offense in the playoffs, Michael Busch should be the last person discussed, if at all. Yeah, man, that's the thing. That's the thing about this. You only have two or three guys in this lineup right now that are hitting well in the playoffs. And Busch is right up there at the top of the list. I understand he's not good against lefties, but I think I'd put him out there just in the hopes that he'd run into one with his 34 home run power. And the power that we saw put the Cubs up 1-0 in the opener of this series. You don't have enough run production in the lineup here of late to take that guy out. I don't understand. Well, I understand it. I shouldn't say I don't understand it. I understand it. I don't agree with it. I just don't I can't agree with it. Did I take Andy from Moreland Park already, Tyler, or is he next up?
Nope, he's next.
Andy in Orland Park, you're on the score. What's up, Andy?
Yeah, hey, how you doing, Rami? Yeah, so good. You made the point about the home runs. Well, Imanaga, 16 home runs in his last 10 outings. And I'm just looking at the Cubs website with their pitching stats. And you look at the last seven games. We're probably talking about the last month and a half of the season or so, right? You're correct. Tyone been the best. 4-2, 1.85 ERA. Ray, 2-2, 3.82 ERA. Assad, 4-0, 3.00 ERA. Imanaga, 1-3, 5.4 ERA. And Boyd, 3-3 with a 6.08 ERA. Oof. So the way Counsell has set up his playoff rotation is to have the two least effective of the five be your 1 and 2. Assad's not even on the playoff roster. And Ray is pitched, what, 17 pitches in one game in the first series? That's it. I don't understand it. To me, this is just foolish. You know, I mean, you got a guy like Counsell. He's a Notre Dame guy, accounting, smart guy. You figure dispassionate number guy talking about outs and all that stuff. You look at these numbers, this is just blatant. Imanaga and Boyd have been very ineffective the last month and a half plus of the season, and you're putting them out there in critical spots, including tonight with Imanaga. You know, I look what he did against the Mets. He got bombed against them, and that was a team that couldn't score. I don't get it.
Yeah, I understand the concern over Imanaga and going tonight. You weren't going to go with Tyone in this one, and maybe that goes back to the first series. Maybe Tyone should have been your game two starter there, and he'd be ready for this one. But you weren't going to go to Tyone in this one. He just doesn't have enough rest from his last outing. I'm actually okay with the Javier Assad thing and not going to him and actually not having him on this roster because he gives up a lot of base hits, and that's what the Brewers do. Like, he doesn't give up the home run, but he gives up a lot of base hits, and that's what the Brewers do. We saw it in game one of this series. They didn't hit one home run, and we're still able to put up, what was it? I stopped paying attention after the second. I think they finished with 9 runs in that game. I just couldn't anymore. But that's what they do. Pat Murphy calls them the woodpeckers, or you could say it's death by 1,000 paper cuts. They would have been able, well, there's a good chance they would have been able to put up some pretty lengthy rallies on a Javier Assad. You could have gone to Colin Ray in this one. You could have. That was certainly an option for Craig Council, and I can understand why somebody would think that was the better option for Craig Council I forget the caller's name now. I think it was Jim. With what Jim just laid out there as far as their recent performances, and especially the way that the long ball has bit Shota Imanaga. I think what Council is counting on there is what he talked about in that soundbite we played in the first segment of the show. He's a guy who's very good at making the adjustments, whether it's in between pitches, in between innings, or in between games. I think he's a better pitcher. Actually, I know he's a better pitcher than what we've seen here in the last month or so. And if his problem is the home run and the Brewers slap out a couple of solo home runs and that's all they get in four or five innings of work off Shota, I think you'll take that. I think you'll take your chances with that. But I think Craig is looking at it and going, well, they're not a home run hitting club. His problem is the home run. Other than that, he's pretty good. I'll take my chances here. And I get that reasoning, but certainly could have gone with Colin Ray in this one. I do got to get to a break. I'll get in a few more calls, a few more texts. I'll get you the lineups and some matchup info coming up right after this. Rami Makhlouf taking you right up to Cubs pregame, and you'll hear Zach Zaidman with Justin Turner in Cubs pregame. That's coming up at 7:30, but this is the Score Evening Show. I'm Rami Makhlouf, and I'm on Chicago Sports Radio 670. The Score.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Score.
This is a guy that I think is tough on left-handed hitters, and so, you know, as you go through the game, you're kind of looking, is there a spot for Justin here? You know, and we haven't found one thus far because there's always kind of been more game left than maybe a bat against the right-handed pitcher remaining that we didn't want to take Michael out for. But this, we can guarantee an at-bat against a guy and know Michael's still available the rest of the game. And so we're going to take advantage of that and use Justin's at-bat right here and then see what happens the rest of the game.
That's Craig Council talking about the decision to start and lead off Justin Turner at first base. Rami Makhlouf with you on the Score Evening Show, taking you right up to Cubs baseball pregame at 7:30. Zach Zaidman will sit down with Justin Turner in that pregame show, so stay tuned for that. I will get back to your calls at 4. Excuse me, I almost gave out the numbers for my station up in Milwaukee, where I do the 9 to noon show every day. That's my bad. Don't worry, I'm one of you, lifelong Chicago fan, just working behind enemy lines. I'm gathering info, you know what I mean? That's what I'm doing. So it's recon. That's why I work in Milwaukee. But I am one of you, 100% rooting for the Cubs in this one. Wanted to give you the lineups, but 312-644-6767, still time to get you in. And I'll talk with Bart Winkler of the Infinity Sports Network coming up at 7 o'clock. For the Milwaukee Brewers, I'll start there. There was question as to whether Jackson Chourio would be ready for this game. He is indeed going to play with that hamstring strain. Pat Murphy, the Brewers manager, said if there's any sign that he's struggling with it or that it's holding him back or it's catching on him, he will be pulled. But Jackson Chourio will get the start in center field and leading off. Bryce Terang will bat second and play second. William Contreras is behind the plate and batting third. He has a .300 career batting average against Shota Imanaga, as does Christian Yelich, who will DH and bat fourth. Andrew Vaughn, probably, actually, not quite, but one of the most successful against Shota Imanaga in this lineup. Their first baseman, who's batting fifth, a .429 career batting average against Shota Imanaga. Sal Frelick will be in right field and batting sixth. Caleb Durbin is at third base and batting seventh. He's 0-for-7 career against Shota Imanaga. Blake Perkins will be in center field and batting eighth. He has a 750 career batting average with a home run and two RBI career against Shota Imanaga and batting ninth. And at shortstop for those Milwaukee Brewers is Joey Ortiz, who's also been pretty good against Shota, a 444 average. He's 4-for-9 career against a Cubs starter tonight. For your Chicago Cubs, as I mentioned, Justin Turner will lead off and play first base. And when I first heard the news, I was driving in and I heard it on with Spiegel and Holmes, and I was like, oh, he must have some kind of history with Aaron Ashby. He must have some kind of track record there that would prompt Craig to make that type of move. 0-for-3 career against Aaron Ashby. So there's that. Not only is Michael Bush your hottest hitter and not in the lineup tonight, Justin Turner, now small sample size, only 3 at-bats, but 0-for-3 career against the lefty Aaron Ashby. Nico Horner will bat second and play second. Kyle Tucker is batting third and DHing. He's never faced Aaron Ashby in his career. Seiya Suzuki is in right field. He'll be in the cleanup spot, batting fifth. And in left field is Ian Happ. Carson Kelly, probably the most success against Ashby in his career with a .500 batting average. He'll bat sixth and be behind the plate. PCA, 0-for-4 career against Ashby. He'll be in center field and batting seventh. Dansby Swanson batting eighth and will be at shortstop. 3-for-7 career against Ashby, so he has some success against him. And Matt Shaw is batting ninth and at third base. 1-for-6 career against Aaron Ashby. So one more time, that lineup for you. Turner, Horner, Tucker, Suzuki, Happ, Kelly, PCA, Swanson, and Matt Shaw. Bart Winkler at the top of the hour. Let me squeeze in a couple more of your calls if I can. Let's go out to Vernon Hills and Al. He dialed 312-644-6767. Now he's on the score. It's that easy. What's up, Al? Hey, what's up, Al? All right, put Al on hold. I'll try to get back to him. He did not seem to be ready for the call. Let's go to John in Alsip. He's on the score. What's up, John?
Hey, thanks so much for taking my call.
Pleasure. What's up?
So I think people are overthinking this a little bit. I think Bush will be in the lineup come the bottom of the first inning. With Turner leading off, I think it's smart simply because he has 9 years playoff experience, .270 average in the playoffs. So when you replace someone like that for Bush, I think that kind of just plays in those certain situations there, and I think towards the end it won't have an effect with the Swanson and Shaw then going back to Turner. I think Turner will be out of the game come the bottom of the first inning.
But if that's the case, Pat Murphy has all the tools at his disposal in terms of pitchers that he could bring into the game that Michael Bush never sees a right-handed pitcher. So what was the point of this if that's what he's doing?
I think it's kind of like the sub first inning pitcher who just comes in to start the game for the inning to get the 1-2-3, and then you go to your starter. I think it's just in reverse, and now you're doing it with the batting order.
Yeah, I hope you're right. It still doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. Michael Bush is your best hitter right now. He's one of the few guys putting runs on the board with a single swing of the bat, which is what you need in the postseason. He just hit a home run to start the game 2 days ago. I know it was against a righty. I understand, but he's one of your only single-handed run producers in the game right now. You can't put him on the bench, and if he's never going to see a righty, what's the point of any of this? And there's a good chance he never sees a righty because of where he's at in the order, or at least there is no pressure on Pat Murphy for him to see a righty. Because I'll take my chances of a lefty against Matt Shaw and Michael Bush and then Nico Horner if that's the case, or Swanson and Shaw and Bush. There's a good chance that Craig Counsell won't get a chance to put him in the batter's box against a right-handed pitcher. Which, if that happens, what was the point of any of this? Let's say it's an opener. Let's say they're doing the opener thing at first base. It still doesn't make sense. If you put him really almost anywhere else in the lineup, as I've said a few times already on the show today, put him between Horner and Suzuki. Put him between Suzuki and Happ. Put him between Happ and Kelly. Put him between Kelly and Swanson. In any one of those spots, it makes more sense to me. I still don't love it, but it makes more sense to me. Because then Pat Murphy is in the spot of, okay, do I let Horner and Suzuki face a lefty, or do I let Bush face a righty? And down the line with all the names that I just gave you, do I let Kelly and Swanson face a lefty, or do I let Bush face a righty? Now the question is, do I let Shaw face a righty, or Bush face a lefty? And either way, I'm feeling pretty good about that. But I would 100% stick with the lefty and force Michael Bush to either go against a left-handed pitcher or for Craig Counsell to keep Justin Turner in there. So I just can't make it make sense. Do I have time for one more, Tyler? Or do
we
got to
fit Alan?
Okay. All right. Let's get Alan. Al, what you got?
Okay. Al from Vernon Hills.
Yep.
Has 23 seconds for Ryan Sandberg here. Real quick, guys. 23 seconds. $9 million man, Craig Counsell. Trust your manager. Trust your manager. We got a veteran leading off. The guy knows how to play the game. He's a veteran. He knows what he's doing. Trust your manager. And also know that we are better than the Brewers. Take away the 14 games in the middle of the season. We're a better team. We have heart, I believe. And I'm looking forward to the 2025 World Series champion Chicago Cubs.
Al, I needed that. I needed that positivity right there, man. Thanks for the call. I do appreciate it. We got to get to a quick break, and going to talk with Bart Winkler here in just a minute. But do you want to win a pair of tickets to Cubs Brewers NLDS Game 3 at Wrigley Field on Wednesday? Right now, right? It's starting in 3 minutes. You got to move. You got to get on over to Sluggers in Wrigleyville from 7 to 8 p.m. tonight. And meet Gabe Ramirez to register for your chance to win tickets to Game 3 of the NLDS at Wrigley Field. Tickets are courtesy of The Score and Budweiser. This Bud's for you. I hope Al's right. I would love to celebrate another World Series. And that starts tonight in Milwaukee. I know a guy up in Milwaukee. He does the Bart Winkler Show weeknights on the Infinity Sports Network and right here on The Score. His name is Bart Winkler. We'll get his view on this series and the chess match between these two managers right after this. It's Rami Makhlouf. It's The Score Evening Show on Chicago Sports Radio 670. The Score.
We're down 1-0. Nothing else changes besides that. It's 1-0. I don't think, I'm not sure we'd manage the game differently on Monday. Up 1-0, down 1-0. So it, I'm not sure it does. We made it harder for ourselves. We got to win 3 out of 4 now. They got to win 2 out of 4. Other than that, we've got to do more. We pitched well for the last 6 innings. We didn't pitch great early. That's it.
Here's Craig Counsell, Cubs manager. This is Rami Makhlouf and The Score Evening Show, taking you right up to Cubs baseball on the Southwest Airlines Cubs Radio Network and right here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Joining me now on the Circus Sports Hotline, presented by Circus Sports Illinois. Download the Circus Sports app today. Hear them weeknights from 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. right here on The Score and the Infinity Sports Network. My absolute pleasure to welcome in my good buddy, Bart Winkler. Bart, how are you this evening, my man?
Oh, good to be with you, buddy. How are you? I'm nervous. How are you? I'm very nervous.
I'm very nervous, Bart. I got a text here from the 708. It says, tell Bart to come get this Milwaukee bum Counsell and take him back when he's on for his segment. Bart, do you want to come get Craig Counsell and take him back to Milwaukee with you?
I was told I was a whiny crybaby for being mad that he left. I was told that suck it up, loser Wisconsin boy. I was told that, Craig Counsell. It's not personal. Brewers fans, the thing Brewers fans don't get is it's not personal because Craig Counsell just wanted to reset the managerial market. That's all he's doing. Okay. All right. Yeah, Justin Turner's leading off. Although I don't want to mean about that because, that's another walk-off single, lead-off single waiting to happen, or home run, I should say. That's weird, but I'm scared. Probably because of when he beat the Brewers 7 years ago. I think that's why Craig's doing it. I don't know. But whatever. Hi.
Yeah. Hi. How are you? What was your reaction to that from the other side of things? As a Brewers fan, lineups come out. You see Michael Busch leading off and playing first. You see Justin Turner leading off and playing first base, and Michael Busch on the bench. What's your reaction? I think that's telling what the other team or the other team's fan base might say when they see a move like that. What did you think?
This is what you're paying him $8 million for. So this is like this is a decision. This is an $8 million decision. Like you saw how the game started the other day. You're going with Justin Turner here. He has had success in that ballpark in an NLCS 7 years ago. We'll see how long he is in the game, but I think it's a interesting move. And with Craig Counsell's moves, really over the last decade, sometimes they work out, sometimes they don't. And you're really taking a flyer on this one. I think it's, I don't know. Does it show some sort of desperation? Does it show some sort of like, are we doing matchups? Can Murphy then play it where there's not a spot for Bush to get in at all? I don't know. But I saw it. Somebody called me and was like, you see the lineup? And I go, no, I didn't. What, when did it come out? He goes, just now. I go, all right, well, why are you calling me? Justin Turner's leading off. And I was like, I didn't like it. I don't know. I don't know. It'd be like if, Tommy Edman was leading off in a series like for the Dodgers. He's killed the Brewers or the Cardinals. I don't want to see any of these guys. I don't want to see any of these guys again. So I do think it's Craig, you know, trying to be like, okay, we got to get one here. They know they can't go down 0-2. You go down 0-2. You lose 90% of the time in these five-game sets. So you can't go down 0-2, so whatever they got to do. But like I said, this is why David Ross was expendable for decisions like this, for good or for better or for worse. This is what you're getting. So we'll see how it plays out.
Yeah, that's a great point, Bart. This is a smartest guy in the room type of move. And sometimes you use smartest guy in the room as an insult. Sometimes you use smartest guy in the room as a compliment. And you really mean it. Tonight it's going to go one way or the other because you're right. This is what you go and get Craig Counsell for. That this is him pushing the buttons and pulling the strings of a roster over the course of a playoff run and hoping that he's the smartest guy in the room and he can out chess match his old mentor and bench coach in Pat Murphy. That's exactly what's happening here. Spiegel said it before I came on and I've parroted it myself. He took the bait. I think he took the bait of Pat Murphy in starting the lefty in Aaron Ashby, who's probably only going to go an inning or two, and we'll see what he does after that. But this very much feels like he took Pat Murphy's bait, and I don't know if this is the familiarity that the two of them have with each other, and this is Murph using it to his advantage, but he took the bait of what Pat Murphy threw out there.
Well, think of like sometimes when like you're playing – I don't know what a good example is, like just hoops with your buddy or like, you know, you said chess, like I suck at chess, but you know, when you're ever in like a strategy based situation against somebody, even like Madden, right? If you play somebody enough or if you're close to them and you know their tendencies, I think we sometimes get to the point where it's like, okay, he did that because he thinks I'm going to do this. So I'm going to do this. But then we get to a point where it's like, well, he did that because he thinks I'm going to do this after he thinks that I think he's going to do that. So I'm actually going to do this, which he'll then think I'm going to do. So I'm actually going to do this. Actually, I got an idea. I'm going to lead off Justin Turner. So I don't know.
It's like if you and I were playing a game of pickup one-on-one, and I'm like, Bart can't go left. I don't need to guard Bart going left.
Can't go right either, Rami.
And then you try to go left, and you dribble the ball off your knee. Like that's what this. Like you know that I know that you can't go left. So you're like, I'm gonna go left, but you really can't go left, and then the ball goes off your knee and out of bounds.
So I know that you know, so what I'm going to do is instead of dribble, I'm going to turn around and take one of those granny shots one-handed from half court. If it goes in, I am a genius. Oh, my God, I'm a genius. I'd pay $8 million for that. But if I miss terribly, you're like, well, I mean, what are we doing here?
Exactly. Talking with Bart Winkler of the Infinity Sports Network. Catch him tonight right here on The Score from 10 p.m. until 1 a.m. He starts at 9. You can listen to him starting at 9 on the Odyssey app if you so please, if you want 4 hours of Bart. How are you going to handle being on the air while this game is going on? How does that work? And I know your producer, Carlos, he's a Cubs fan. Is this just a watch party? Are you guys giving play-by-play without express written consent of Major League Baseball and the commissioner?
I don't know yet. I don't know how it's going to go down. I've prepared a full show of like talking about football. I don't ever really do this, but I like basically like I actually never write out any segments ever. I will have like stats and stuff, but I never write out segments. I never write out monologues. But I've written a lot today just so that I can focus on the page and, like, just say the word. I don't care. Cause I don't. There's been times on the air where, you know, when a team I like, obviously Wisconsin, but when a team I like is playing, it's been really tough. And I can think of the two that were the worst, which was this will be the first playoff game I'm on the air for since Pete Alonso knocked him out of the playoffs last year. The second I went on the air, the literal second I went on, he hit a home run. And then Jordan Love, when he got hurt in Brazil in week one last year, it was a Friday I was on. Oof. And 10 minutes, like that, we had just gotten back from the segment or from the break commercial. And so I thought, and not so much commercial as like great clients that you should totally, you know,
show some love and support to.
Yeah. And in fact, if you think you're showing a lot of love to, if you're like, I came here because I heard him on The Score, it's not doing enough. You need to do it consistently and habitually and more. Then tell him The Score sent you.
Spend more of your money there. Yeah.
Yeah. And then like a 10%, I can, you know, whatever, of the paycheck. So Jordan Love gets hurt and I come back on and I go, I go, okay, guys, I am processing my feelings as a Packer fan. I just saw my quarterback go down. I don't know that he's going to be okay. The season might be over. So I don't know what I'm going to say for the next 10 minutes, but I know that I have to keep talking. All my literal job description is be on the air. Yeah, it'd be good to be entertaining. It'd be good to be informative. But all I truly know is that I've been hired to be on the air and just not be dead air. So
to make noise into a microphone.
I kind of did that for like 8 minutes. Then I finally got to the break. And I said, I'll be right back. And then I composed myself. But it's hard. The big problem with tonight is, you know, everybody in Chicago and Milwaukee will be focused on the game. So the show that we're doing is going to be to the rest of the country who does not care about this game as much. So they're going to tune in and be like, oh, I want to hear football talk. And it's going to be two guys, like, you know, talking about this baseball game. But the other problem is, I am in the room where I don't have a TV, and I stream the games. I stream everything. So I'm 30 seconds behind Carlos, who's in New York. And so he's got to, like, you know, it's going to be awkward.
Talking with Bart Winkler of the Infinity Sports Network. If you want to hear him be awkward, he won't be on these airwaves because we'll have the Cubs game. But again, Infinity Sports Network, if you want to hear him, turn up the sound on Bart and then watch the game on TV if you so please. Bart, I know you didn't even want this series. You did not. You came in here the other day. You and I, when I'm working in Milwaukee, working from Milwaukee, doing my shifts on The Score, we share a studio. So we cross paths. We'll chit-chat.
I didn't know if I could say that before.
You can.
That, I'm sure.
You can. You were in a bad mood. You were in a bad mood when once we knew it was Cubs and Brewers, and this was not something you wanted. Why, and do you feel any better about it after getting the Game 1 win?
Well, I'm glad they won Game 1, obviously. I don't know what tonight will bring. I think the series is a long way from being over. I just don't like that these series, anything Wisconsin – Chicago. I don't like that it's become more than just the baseball. It's not about the baseball. It's about, you know, are the Brewers manipulating with the stadium roof? Is it, oh, Craig Council? How bad of a person do you have to be, by the way, for you hating Yacht Rock is a known trait about you? That is weird. Didn't like that. But it's always about, like, everything but the baseball. Same with the Packers and Bears. I think I went through this once where I determined the math on it. You know, I like the Packers and Bears. There's a big rivalry. And there's Bears week and Packers week. Okay, that's 2 weeks of the year. Then maybe a couple days after, maybe somebody wins the offseason or wins the draft, or we make fun of the other one. I think at most you should get 25 days to have the Packers-Bears rivalry, something you talk about. Then you see all these people that have completely made it their personality. These people are bad news. This is too much. This is too much. And I don't like the carryover in Chicago. And I don't know, you know, what you guys think of that. Because every time I open up my internet, which is what I call it, I see these people, like, reacting to the games with the split screen, and they're like, I mean, what are we doing? This is so dumb. It's just, let this be about the baseball. But then I can't, because there's the Craig Council factor, and then that's got to be a whole thing. And I've kind of made some of my bread on that the last year, okay? So then that's all, I'm all conflicted. But the main feeling I get is, if the Brewers lose this series, I will be devastated. And they will always, Cubs fans, be able to hang this over us. And if the Brewers win, I'm not going to feel any joy until it ends. And I'm not even going to feel joy. I'm just going to feel relief. So neither, like, I just, this series, I might like the result. I might not like the result. But there's not going to be a lot of joy during the series either way.
Bart, I said at the top of the show. I said at the top of the show, I've actually said a number of, I said on my own show today in Milwaukee, I said when I made an appearance with Layla and Marshall and Mark Grody in the midday here on The Score. And then I said it again on my own show here on The Score. I think whoever wins this game tonight goes on to win this. I think this is the pivotal game of the series, and whoever wins tonight goes on to win the series. Pretty self-explanatory why I think the Brewers are in a good spot if they win this game. You're up 2-0 in a best-of-five series. I really like the Cubs' chances because they don't lose games in bunches. They're 47-24, I think was the number I gave. After a loss, they have the guy who's been their best pitcher for a couple months running now, and Jameson Taillon on the bump for game 3 in Chicago, and then there'll be a game 4 in Chicago. So I like the Cubs' chances a lot if they win this game, and I think whoever wins this game goes on to win the series. Agree or disagree?
I don't know. I don't think I agree. I don't think I can be confident to agree or disagree. I think whoever wins the series loses to the NLCS. I think that's
really
true.
Really?
This series, I think, unless it's a sweep or the Cubs then take the next three, and there's not a lot. I just feel like there's a lot of emotions and other stuff with it. And then you go into another series, and I see the Dodgers are up now, and, you know, they're looking pretty good. And so I don't know. I went all season. I went from, I'm a Brewers fan who has convinced himself this team will never win a World Series in my lifetime. And I've been fine with that. I've been at peace. And then this year happens. And then I'm like, okay, maybe it might happen this year. I give myself a little bit of hope. And then I see this series and I just think, you know what? I don't even care how far they go as long as they win this series. So it's completely messed with my expectations, which is another reason why I did not want this. I think a lot of your points are sound. I can't, and I don't think this is why I ever come on any show, but I can't give it to you from an X's and O's standpoint because my emotions are too clouded that I cannot accurately or even remotely fake having any real insight on this game other than hope or fear. That's all can offer at this point.
With your clouded emotion and zero insight, who wins tonight and who wins the series? Give me a prediction before I let you go, Bart.
Did I not just say I cannot do that?
Yeah, I know, and I'm still asking you to do it. That's why I did it. Who wins tonight and who wins the series?
Let me tell you, let me give you an example of where I'm
at. You're
going
to dance around this, aren't you? Go ahead. I got 3 minutes to end the show. Go ahead. Yeah.
I'll give you an example where I'm at.
All right.
When the Packers were playing the Cowboys on Sunday night, they were driving down, and I was very pessimistic about how the game was going to end. And then I thought to myself, oh, my God, they are going to win this game. And I had that thought. I had that thought of knowing and feeling good, and then the rest of my brain, whatever node of my brain thought that, the rest of my brain just started beating it up like I was back in sixth grade, just getting pounded for the nice cookies my mom made. I'm not allowing myself to have any other thought at all. So I'm going to predict nothing. I'm not predicting nothing. I can't.
Great
I
stuff.
Can't.
Great stuff. That's why I brought you on right there. To do.
Well, yeah, I like doing radio with you, Rami. It'd be fun to do it sometime.
Anytime, buddy. Anytime.
You sure about
anytime.
That?
Yes. Anytime you give me a call. Well, okay. I'll do your show. I'll do your pod. Whatever.
Oh,
okay. I'll be there, bud. And you're welcome here anytime.
Okay. I'm welcome here. Okay.
That is Bart Winkler. Catch him on the Bart Winkler Show weeknights from 9 p.m. to 1 a.m., 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. most nights right here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. And he joins me on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline. CircaLasVegas.com is where you can find them. Thank you, Bart. Have a good show tonight. Try to focus.
People are comfortable. Did you hang up on me?
No, you're still there. What? What did you say?
I was going to say I love you.
I love you back, buddy.
Okay, bye, buddy.
Nothing but love here for Bart Winkler. There's Bart Winkler joining me again on the Circa Score Hotline presented by Circa Sports Illinois. Download the Circa Sports app today. That's going to about do it for us here on the Score Evening Show. Thanks to Bart for joining me. Follow him at Bart Winkler on Twitter is where you can find him, as well as I said, every night right here on the Score and on the Infinity Sports Radio Network. Thanks to all of you for listening, for contributing. Your calls, your texts, your tweets are greatly appreciated. And thanks to Tyler Farengol on the other side of the glass, on the ones and twos, and helping me put this thing together tonight. Cubs playoff baseball is coming up next. Game two of the NL Divisional Series. Justin Turner sits down with Zach Zaidman. I'm back in this time slot on Thursday. Till then, Rami Makhlouf saying thanks for listening to the Score Evening Show on Chicago Sports Radio 670. The Score.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.